Well, if you want to win a staycation comfort package from my friends at Reliable Heating and Air, stay tuned. We're going to give it away. Guys, it includes, all right, a $150 gas card, $150 grocery gift card, and a free cooling system tune-up, all compliments of Reliable Heating and Air. So stay tuned. We'll give that away coming up because a lot of folks are just like, oh, we'll stay here for the summer. I get it. But that's a cool giveaway, and we'll do that here before the end of 6 o'clock. Mike, I do feel like Michael Penix, and we'll dive into this here in about 10 minutes, is feeling pressure to come back. Not from us. I just feel like his internal clock is working that way. I don't think anybody at Flowery Branch, Matt Ryan, Stefanski, Tommy Reese, none of these guys are saying, you know, you got to be back by June. Nobody's saying that. But if I am Michael Penix Jr., inside, knowing what I'm up against, and look, I'm quoting my partner here when he says three ACLs, right? Name the guy that has come off of that situation and gone on to monster success. Maybe Michael Penix Jr. will be the first one, and I hope he is. But my internal clock, Mike, is like, I got to be ready. It's got to be messing with him a little bit. And I just say that to know, even if he's on schedule, you're pushing yourself just a little bit more, Mike, because this could be your last chance.
You know, and that's the thing, like, for instance, Jason Tatum, when he sat out of game 7, right, against the Sixers, because there's a history. That's Achilles, that's different. But it always seems like there's another body part opposite where you hurt. Which gets a little funky because you pushed it too hard. I mean, that's kind of, we've seen that in all sports, but... Yeah, if you're Penix Jr., you're right. That's why the coaching staff, I think, is trying to keep, and the medical staff, hey, man, your own clock, your own time. No one's given up. No one's, we ask, where's the timeline? There's no timeline. We're not going to pressure a timeline. But again, you know, as we said, if you see Michael Penix, oh, Mike looks really good. And then Tua looks like he's at a different level because, yeah, he's not 6 months removed from blowing his knee out. It was a partial MCL tear.
Yeah.
So, but as we said, right, Oren, we all looked at it. It was like, and I joked around because you were on vacay. I go, T-U-A. It looks good.
It does. You know,
not that Penix looks bad. It's just one guy is 100%. One guy isn't. It's clear as day. I believe Michael Penix Jr.
You can tell. See, well, look, I hope that.
I see that. He said not. That's not right.
Oh, what did he say? I'm sorry.
I believe in Michael Penix Jr. Not, see, that's not even, that's a cheaply executed edit. Quite clearly, I did not say.
I believe in Michael Penix Jr.
Not, now, I had a guy, you were off last week. I had a guy go, you just down on Penix. This guy's like, I'm like, hey, chump, I think I called somebody a moron on Monday. See, when you're not here and Abe's got me going.
You're mine.
And then I'll see you at the liquor store. I said, bring it. You know, it never happened. But I was like, no, I mean, we're all rooting for Penix. We're all rooting for him. It'd be a hell of a story. But that's Carl. I were just giving you the facts. The odds are long. That's it.
All right. I believe in Michael Penix Jr.
Thank you. Stop it right there.
Not. Oh, you turd.
Hey, man, speaking of the NFL, let's get to 4th-and-1. It's time for 4th-and-1. I want to be clear as we start this next conversation. We, on this show, stay in our lane. But sometimes sports and politics cross. And that's what happened when Jackson Dart did what he did, the starting quarterback of the New York Giants, and introducing President Trump. Now, for me, I think for Mike, this is a non-story. Let's be honest. Until it crossed over. And once it did, and you had a teammate in Abdul Carter who is a dude, okay, he's a stud in his own right, first-round pick. The Giants have a lot of talent, which is why Harbaugh took that job. But if you missed it, I think Jackson Dart, Mike, had to know that publicly doing this would bring some scrutiny. Maybe he didn't care. Maybe he didn't think any of his teammates would care. But when you're the quarterback of a football team, it's a unique situation because you are the straw that stirs the drink. And so as this went down, and now it's been squashed, is it a beef or is it not a beef? Because Abdul Carter went to social media and said, look, we talked it out like men, right? Yeah. Y'all can keep the narratives. Me and my quarterback and Jackson Dart, we're fine, you know. And I hope that's the case. But I also think that Harbaugh probably stepped in because he knew how toxic this could get.
Yeah, I mean, and look, we know that politics creates visceral reactions now between people. I mean, you can't have, like, no one's going to, you're not going to convince anybody of anything on social media or anything else. But the idea that he saw this and immediately he was ticked off and he took to social media because he was hot. You know, and everybody, like, it's a free country. But when politics crosses over and now the locker room culture is like, oh, that's your, oh, you feel that way? See, that's where you've got to squash it. And that's why, to your point, Harbaugh probably said, we got to nip this in the bud right now. But it is funny because we see just how poisonous politics has become in our country. We used to be able to have great conversations. You and I love politics, man. We talk off the air all the time. You can't seem to do that. And in locker rooms now, you can't have that kind of cancer where you don't have that guy's back because you don't like what he does off the field. That's poison.
It is. And look, Abdul Carter needs Jackson Dart to be a great quarterback, and he needs Abdul Carter to get after the quarterback of the opposing team. They need each other to get their goals established, right? The Super Bowl. And everybody on every team is dealing with this same dynamic. I just think, and Mike, I was thinking about this. For most of us, okay, you may be working in an office atmosphere. Maybe you work from home. You don't even see any people anymore, okay? Right. You don't have a locker room dynamic where I'm with a guy 6 to 8 months of a year, and I see him more than I see my family.
Right.
That is what happens in these situations. And so when somebody says, oh, he's got every right to do it. You know, people at my job, I don't care what they do because this is not a locker room atmosphere. It is completely different than most work environments. So I know for some of you, you may be like, well, I don't understand what the big deal is. But, Mike, that's the issue is, man, I'm watching. And by the way, it's not just Abdul Carter. You think right. He was the only – he spoke out. There were other cats on that defense who probably felt the same right. way, maybe reached out.
Now, again, this is difficult because it's a political conversation.
It is.
I mean, but again, you surround yourself by people that are like-minded, so there's no beef. When you get into the real world where people have differing opinions, somehow they might feel diametrically opposed to where you are. And as we've said, I just touched on it, it's toxic. I mean, it's toxic in our country. It's a shame. I mean, it is what it is. It ain't going to change anytime soon. But that's where you say, okay, how do I get everybody on the same page as a head coach? But then will there be some doubt? I mean, no, as we said, not like an offensive lineman is going to go, I don't like your politics. Olé! And let some defensive tackle come in. Because then you're messing with your own career because that's on tape. But it is just part of the new dynamic of where we live in 26. So it is funny when a guy's like, well, I like Jackson Dart. The other guy's a jerk or vice versa. Well,
that's fine.
Good luck.
Yeah.
You don't. Do you walk around with political campaign stuff in your office? No, you don't. That's your point.
Yeah. It's. But they, as they said, it's been squashed.
Right.
And I hope for the Giants' sake it has been. But it was one of those things that happened last week and over the weekend. And we were like, oh, where is this going?
When I first saw that deal with Carter Tweet, I was like, uh-oh. But yeah, we'll see how well it goes. Speaking of politics in its own way.
Yeah.
Supreme Court denies the NFL's petition for appeal in the Brian Flores case. If you hadn't seen this, this guy has apparently subpoenaed everybody. Brian Flores, who felt that it was racist treatment with the Dolphins and subsequently trying to be hired. And the basic Supreme Court said, you know, Roger Goodell can't be the voice of arbitration on something involving Roger Goodell in the NFL. Duh.
Yeah, a little bit unfair.
And that's basically in a nutshell. 25-page document submitted by the league. Was like, basically, it's like, how far is arbitration? No, not when you're going up against the organization itself. Basically saying, I need help. I need someone to look at this objection, it's not arbitration, but the objectionable, objective, I'll get the right adjective out. Can Roger Goodell be objective? So of course, no, of course he can't.
You know, no way. Because he's still protecting the owners in this situation.
Right. Would John Gruden have liked Roger Goodell to go over an appeal on the suspension from the Redskins case? Back then called the Redskins.
No,
ain't going to happen.
I said to Mike, this could get very interesting. If everybody is called, as he's, you know, like you said, subpoenaed everybody, and look, when you're under oath, you got to tell it, man. And if this could be very interesting and revealing.
The NFL, the last thing they want is this going. So the question now is going to be, do they settle with Brian Flores, or is Brian Flores going to stick to his guns and go, no. I want this all out in the daylight.
Well,
and
Mike,
if there are
people called him out. They thought he was nuts. Oh, right. It's not that way. What are you talking about? Everybody's getting a fair shot. And he's like, no. You don't understand. So I think deep down, he might have some convictions about trying to see this through.
Right. And again, you know, we talked about the Rooney Rule and I get it. You know, there's people that feel, you know, hey, there's no place for affirmative action in the workplace, but the NFL's got a pretty poor record with it over the years. Just because you'll see an NFL game with two black coaches doesn't mean the problem doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And that's why they've tried to advance guys getting a chance through interviews and this and that. And they do these things that Ulbrich just did for all coaches to try to improve their skills to climb the ladder. But in the case of Flores, there's probably some documents they've got, which the NFL doesn't want coming out. Maybe it's communications. Look what the NFL did with Gruden. Maybe there's some communications, emails, you know, paper trail, where people are talking about, no, I can't touch Flores. And that's going to be all he needs.
It'd be devastating to their case.
Right.
Hey, man, let's hear from Jason Kelsey, Mike. He says the NFL's getting away from Sundays. They're playing Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. He's right. Too much. Can we get back to Sunday?
Sunday is the day of football. Right. Outside of going to church in the morning, if you're still religious and you do that, Sunday is like where so many games happen. And that's what you grow up in you gear your entire week around watching football on Sunday.
Yeah.
It's an institution at this point, the NFL playing games on Sunday. With every day that we keep adding in there, we're getting away from that just a little bit. And I worry that I think the game got big. One of the reasons it got so popular and big was because all of the game, it was an event. Sunday is the NFL. And everybody set their week apart to tune into their games that were happening on Sunday. And you're watching kind of all of them now take place across the, I mean, Sunday ticket, right? I worry that we're getting away from that just a little bit by building too many of this.
I agree.
You and I talked about this. I mean, when we had the Sunday ticket, you're right. I mean, why am I paying for a Sunday ticket when I got two games in the 4 o'clock window? Mm-hmm. Because you've played a Thursday night. Now, sometimes you have the first week, it's really taken to the extreme where they got all these, you know, Friday night games, et cetera.
The build
thing,
up.
You know, the Sunday after Thanksgiving, you're right. You're like, why bother with a Sunday ticket? You know, you don't even have to go to a sports bar to see what you need to see. But I'm with Kelsey. But the greed, that's where it's at. They're saturating the market because these TV networks and Prime and all these untraditional things have now spent so much money, the NFL's got to deliver.
Man, it's kind of nuts, man. I'm glad he spoke on it, but listen, I don't think the league's going to back away from it. They're going to continue to expand because there's so much money involved in these international games now and the advertising dollars, Mike, right, and the money they're getting from the streaming services. I mean, you know, again, Netflix and all the folks that are involved with this, they're not backing down, but we'll see if maybe this goes in a different direction, because I do agree with Jason Kelsey. It's Dukes and Bell, guys. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Does he feel pressure? Does he feel pressure to get back sooner than he needs to? I'll tell you why I think he does when we come back on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. A couple of things we're following after the Cavs got swept. People were saying Kenny Atkinson may be fired. News is dropping that the Cavs are going to keep Kenny Atkinson despite the sweep in the conference finals.
And the subsequent post-game nonsense that he was spewing about analytics. And, you know, technically we won those games. Okay, in what parallel universe did that occur?
It's crazy.
Yeah. And then Harden kind of fed off it. We talked about it earlier. We played the sound. We'll play it again in the show. But, yeah, I would certainly have a conversation about, hey, dude, next year, less lip, more grip.
In the blaming department.
Yeah.
We were talking about, before we get to Michael Penix Jr., and look, I feel like he does feel some pressure. He's not going to say that, but I do. But before we get to that, there is news about JPJ, Mike, and, you know, guys are hitting us up saying, what does this mean?
Yeah, all we can go, guys, by in the most recent case, and I was just telling Carl off the air, for instance, Rashee Rice, he got himself 30 days in the can, 30 days in the hole, and then he had to keep his nose clean, which subsequently he did not.
Nope.
He tested positive for marijuana. Now, I don't know if James likes to, you know, puff, puff, pass, but if James does, he's got to squash that, because any positive drug test, and this deal is blown. So that's another part of this. So if we're looking at Rashee Rice's case, he has the car accident. He does a hit and run. He gets charged. He doesn't get suspended by the NFL that year. It was the spring of 24, the fall season. He plays and he gets hurt. The NFL waits for the judicial process to play out. He gets the sentencing in July of 25. Then he got suspended.
Yeah.
So the question I have for you is, does that mean they'll let this pretrial intervention play out and then they'll suspend James Pierce Jr., which means he'd be able to play? I don't know.
Do you still feel like a suspension is coming if this case is dismissed?
Yeah, and he'll just have to appeal it. Now, because of the perception of violence against women, now, again, the big feather in his cap is that Rekia Jackson has basically dropped all her charges and claims and everything else about him and a restraining order. That's got to go a long way, I would think, to the NFL saying, okay, 8 games, and maybe he tries to appeal it down to 6 or 4.
I do too, Mike, because I think if she was fierce in her pursuit of her being violated in the way she was, I don't know if this doesn't look different for him right now. I'm going to say this, guys, and look, I don't know a date. I can't tell you, you know, how many games he's going to be available for, but from where I'm sitting right now, this feels like he's going to play this season. And again, you got to keep your nose clean. But if you're telling me, and I've been saying this to Mike, he's under contract, you're paying him, and if he is abiding by the program, which they want him to abide by, there's no reason why he shouldn't be playing this season. He's got to do the right things. And right, then when this goes away, however that's going to look, to Mike's point, if there is a 4-game suspension, he can say, hey, the case was dismissed, and we'll let arbitration figure it out. But that is the new news today, and that news dropped about 1 o'clock today before we came on. And I think it's another good sign for James Pierce Jr. I right, really do.
And guys are asking us, why is he not at OTAs? So they're letting this process play out. So, I mean, I don't know if that changes for camp, for big camp. But for right now, he has not been involved in the voluntary workouts or the OTAs. So we'll see where it goes. I just, again, I know it's apples to oranges with Rashee Rice, but that's the most recent case where, you know, there was a situation. Okay, they didn't have it in court. He's technically had his day in court, but again, guys, the NFL moves real slow, and they just do. And maybe the Falcons already know what the punishment is. They're not telling the media.
No doubt. But again, as part of this agreement, Pierce must stay away from Rekia Jackson for the next 12 months while the case remains open.
And not test positive for anything he's not supposed to be doing.
That too. All right, man, let's talk about Michael Penix Jr. Last week, Mike, OTA's big story. As a matter of fact, guys, to be honest with you, when you think about the NFL and all the teams that started OTAs, a lot of discussion about our team because of this quarterback situation. And I'm talking about from a national perspective. Look, I think Michael feels pressure. He's not going to say it. But the pressure is not that he can't get the job done. The pressure is my body going to be where I needed to be for the start of camp so I can have a fair chance to show everybody I've got what it takes? We know he's got the makeup. We've talked about his arm, Mike. His arm talent is different. We know this is why they drafted him.
Right.
Whether you think it was the right choice or wrong, just this is what it is now. And for me, when he said last week, you know, this has always been the goal, but at the same time, I have to focus on the right now and do everything I can to get better each day. He's talking about being ready for week one. It's always been the goal. He's not saying I will be ready for week one. It's always been the goal, but at the same time, I've got to focus on the right now, which where I'm at. Was it 80%? Is it 90%? I don't know. But I need to do everything I can to get better every day. And then Coach Stefanski is not ready to give a timetable because even if they know, all right, doctors are saying this, they don't want to promise that because what if he's not there? Day one, Mike, we show up. We're at camp. All right, man, let's see what this is going to look like. Where's Michael? He's not there. It's not a good look. So I don't expect Coach Stefanski to say anything. I don't expect Matt Ryan to say anything in regard to this. But that's where I think the pressure is for Michael Penix Jr.
Right. I mean, it's tough. And he did say the soundbite we played last week where he's like, I'm not going to, as you just laid out, I'm not going to let, you know, competing with Tua mess up where I'm going and where I have to be. And that's a good mindset. But it will be tough if, you know, there's more social media. Because I had one guy hit me up right now watching this on YouTube going, Tua is underthrowing guys. Oh, you're there? Are you really?
Actually, the people who were there will tell you he looked better last week.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm following our boys, Mark Raimondi, and we talked to Joe Patrick last week.
Now, what does that mean?
The ball comes out crisply
yes.
because he's healthier, you know? And as I said, I mean, if you look at the video, oh, that looks good. Penix Jr. is backing up. He's backing up. He's simulating under center. He's simulating a handoff, and he's delivering the football. And then Tua does it, and it looks like he's, you know, five times as fast because he's just 100% healthy.
It makes a difference.
And again, that's not a knock. I feel like I got to do the whole preamble. Not a knock against Penix. We're just telling you where we are. If he makes some big improvement in these next 2 months, then there you go. But it's human nature. You feel like you're missing out, right? It's like when anybody else rushes back from an injury.
Nobody really wanted to talk about these mechanic things, did they, though? Nobody really wanted to. Because what they're saying is, look, he's an NFL player. He got here based on the skill set that he was able to show in college. And you get here and you're not trying to change his golf swing. Right? That's what I want to relate it to. You're not going to change his throwing motion and all this stuff. But, Mike, nobody really want to talk about these mechanics. Everybody's still talking about the focus on him being what? Healthy.
Right.
That's it. That's where they're at with him.
Right. And, again, another guy hit us up before. I was just telling you, if everybody looked at it, Oren looked at it, it's one piece of video, okay? I'm sorry that I used the analogy that it looked like a Concorde next to a biplane. I'm just telling you, okay? One guy. Two is coming out. He's hustling. He's sprinting. He's throwing. Michael doesn't look like that yet.
But maybe he hasn't been cleared.
Listen
to that, man.
And this is something, you know, this is where I diverge with some Falcon fans. I felt he looked stiff in the pocket last year. I think play action never looked right.
You said that.
Even out of the pistol.
I hate
Michael Penix.
Stop.
See, I'm going to have this guy, you know, this one dude who's every week, you don't like Penix. I love Penix. I hate Michael Penix.
I said I love Penix.
I hate Michael Penix. We all want to see. He's a great guy.
You changed in mid-sentence right there.
See, this is Oren. And I said, we were joking around with Abe last week. There's even people that are so, I'm not saying thick. Okay, little. They don't even realize that's been altered audio.
Well, I don't know, Mike. I hear your
injured
voice.
Michael Power. You know what? Fine. The often injured Michael Penix Jr.
Yeah,
well, that
you.
Is true, too.
That's you. 404-726-0929. Do you think, and you can text us, guys, it's our text line, it's our call-in line, do you think he feels this pressure? Because like many of you are just under the impression like, oh, it's not a big deal, it doesn't matter. This is like, again, you're out for a medical situation at your job, and the new hot kid comes in, Mike, and all of a sudden now he's producing unlike you've been producing, and your job is saying, hey, when are you coming back?
That's it.
When are you going to be back to do the job?
I literally just had a guy on YouTube. They act like Penix is not moving hurt. We just said he looks fine.
Yes.
He looks good for a guy who had a partial MCL tear in November. And here it is now. It's not even June. Okay, that's he looks okay. It's just when you compare him to a guy who doesn't have knee issues, yes, he's got worries about concussions, but that's a different situation.
Yes.
But Tua just looks more nimble right now. How about that?
And that's fair. I don't have an issue with it. But because of these things, that's the pressure. It's not that he can't do the job. It is, man, I need to be back so I can make sure that I have a chance to show.
Guy goes, I seen Penix running sprints like everybody else. Oh, really? Same speed? Come on.
Well, he's on the side.
I guess talking Penix is helping the ratings. Yes, it does.
Well, of course it does.
Yes, it does.
Guys, it's about our starting quarterback in Atlanta. What are you talking about?
Jiu-jitsu for sure.
I'm shutting. I can't interact.
He knows
YouTube.
How to fall, by the way.
He does, like a ninja.
Just saying. Kung fu. Jiu-jitsu.
He's a karate man, Mike.
Karate man bruise on the inside. Just don't bruise his noggin.
He knows how to fall.
Yeah,
you guys, it shouldn't be surprising to you that when we bring up the fact that we don't know what our starting quarterback situation is going to be, that it's a ratings game. No, it's the number one thing people are talking about in the NFL.
Right.
That's the thing.
It's an old-fashioned quarterback competition, i.e. controversy.
Yeah.
By its definition. The fact that I'm talking to these guys, it's just insane. Dudes just love to hate on Penix. What part of what we just talked about?
Well, they keep hearing you say those things.
You know
things.
What? See, Orin, we're going to put a moratorium on this.
I
hate Michael Penix.
Well, when you say those things.
I give up. I can't. Carl's back. I'm very happy. I'm just in a good mood. I can't. I'm texting her right now. I can't do this again. I give up.
Junior.
I give up. You guys are nuts.
Nuts.
You guys are nuts.
That's why. All right.
Again, one guy had a knee injury in November. Another guy finished a full season.
Yes.
That's by definition a guy with an advantage. Hopefully the other quarterback will catch up. But to say there's no disadvantage right now is disingenuous. Yeah.
And by the way, I think it's, you know, from an offensive standpoint, they're both studying new things with Stefanski
right.
and Tommy Reese's
That's
offense.
That's an equalizer.
Exactly right. 404-726-0929. Wanted to mention that and talk about it. They get back to work, by the way, tomorrow. A bunch of coaches will speak. We'll have it all for you right here as we are your home for Atlanta Falcons football. All right, when we come back, I feel guilty, Mike. Feel guilty.
Lay it on me, man.
I got to share this. We got some benefits.
Ooh.
Some upgrades.
Hello.
That we probably shouldn't have gotten.
Hey, I like this kind of party.
Stay there. It's Dukes and Bell.
I believe in Michael Penix Jr. Not...
Coming up, we're going to talk about what's going on at the spring meetings for the SEC. Greg Sankey, 10 toes down on expansion. Mm. We will also find out what Connor Riley says about what Kirby is talking about today. Lots of things going on with the SEC, man, especially at the spring meetings. It never fails, Mike, every year. And to be honest, guys, for the last 3 years, it's been nine games. When are we going to do it? And now we're doing it. So it's when these discussions start, Mike, it's only a matter of time before there's traction to it.
And then, you know, we worry about the rivalries, the out-of-conference scheduling really getting sort of diluted because, you know, you're not really helping yourself. Yeah, and then we talked about it yesterday. We'll get Connor's take on what Petitti, the Big Ten commissioner, threw out there, basically saying, 16 games. Whoever said 16? The SEC's like, you did, like a year ago.
You did.
And now for those not following, Tony Petitti, the Big Ten commissioner, is going, you know, when I was with Major League Baseball... Okay.
Oh, now you want to go there.
It's like, you know, no one ever complained about expanding the playoff field. But yeah, the owners love it. More TV money. Don't blank Sherlock.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, I guess it does help increase a team's ability, but it, you know, to maybe make the playoffs, but it also makes the regular season less important.
No, it does. And look, as much as I'm saying, Greg, you know, you're really, because he's like, we need more information. The information is the money. But I do agree with him about the meaningful games that we get in college football, especially late. In the SEC, with the schedule being what it is, and I'm talking about even before Georgia plays Georgia Tech, those last weeks in November, Mike, defined your season. And if you're not going to tell me that those games are important and that I can lose two of my last three and still be a college football playoff member, like that doesn't fit right for me.
I mean, I do get I see both sides of it in the sense that, you know, if you are like a Florida State fan and the wide rights. You
it
know,
sounds
if,
very personal.
Well, okay, it's me. But if you did go back and put this format, you know, in the 80s, then Coach Bowden would have had an opportunity to maybe win 10 championships, you know, be like Saban, have 6 or 7. Because, you know, there's always a loss to Miami. Now, you probably rematch with Miami. Same thing goes, you know, for the year that Miami played, I think it was Bethune-Cookman, and it dropped them on the BCS rankings like 1/100 of a point below somebody, and they missed out.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, there's all these. And look, I mean, the famous year that Auburn, you know, goes undefeated with Tuberville, they wind up the booby prize, the Sugar Bowl against Virginia Tech.
It's a great example. Right? Yeah. They are, man. I mean, like, that's what Sankey is saying. They are legitimate concerns. The problem is it's him against everybody else now. We'll dive into that in less than 20 minutes from now. What's going on? What you got, man?
Something that came across my Twitter timeline over the weekend, guys, and it was too good not to share. So we're in this new age now. Mike, you're talking about you're trying to get help for your Twitter feed from the good folks at AI.
No help. Zero.
Come on, Elon. Everything is automated. It's AI. Yeah. You're going through computers and just non-real people. Hell, Pontiff today. That's a weird transition. I'm sorry I need to say that like that. But Pontiff, the post broke out today about the dangers of AI and where this world is going with that. Came across this weekend a soundbite from an automated WWE channel that uses AI to create these stories. But this one had kind of a weird sort of tick to it. The AI had problems saying the abbreviation WWE. Now, it's subtle, but I want to see if you guys can pick up where the AI has problems pronouncing WWE.
Millions of fans are making right now. Can you afford it? Maybe. But do you feel like you have to be there? That's the question. And for a lot of people, the answer this year seems to be, not quite. The show will happen. The stadium will likely fill up one way or another. What?
So you're telling me...
Oh my goodness. There's a pause.
Like
you're telling me it couldn't say WWE?
It couldn't say WWE.
It was trying.
It just tried. How long was it? So wait, was it doing this in real, like this was thinking in real time?
Yeah, I was thinking, there's like another minute and a half of this.
Just wow. So is this what happens when Skynet crashes and then everything's, we're just done?
We just give them abbreviations. That's how we win the war with
that's
abbreviations.
That's how we beat Skynet. Well, WWW dot.
So here was what's crazy is if you hear the first part of that, you're like, oh, this is a real person talking.
Millions of fans are making right now. Can you afford it? Maybe.
Yeah, see, they...
But do you feel like you have to be there? That's the question. And for a lot of people, the answer this year seems to be, not quite. The show will happen. The stadium will likely fill up one way or another.
Is this for real? This is real.
This channel apparently has had issues with AI before. It just certain words and certain phrases it gets stuck on. But this one made the rounds this weekend. Yeah, could not say WWE to save its life.
When I sound like it. The alien, the droid in Alien that she didn't trust.
Right. It was played by...
you know what I'm talking
about?
Yeah,
I know. From the Alien, with Sigourney Weaver.
Yes, and I'm thinking about, at points, there were things that the droid would say that if you didn't know it was a droid, it finally gave it away. That's what this reminds me of. It's sort of like, okay, I'm listening to this. It sounds perfectly fine. If I'm listening to that live or I was, you know, went back and wanted to hear, that would have freaked me out.
What's going on?
But Lance Hendrickson, who played Bishop, never went that far.
Yeah. Bishop, thank you.
You know, once the alien, even if he was half of him, he could still do the work.
Yes.
You know, he could still get the job done. Yeah, man, it just, to me, and while you were on vacay, we had the great flood of 2026, and we had the Waymo going, oh, look, standing water, hold my beer. And we just went straight into this lake that was down by Baker Street.
This photo of just Waymo just going head first into a large puddle of water.
I told you guys the rain thing. And look, I'm not poo-pooing on Waymos. I said this. I've not been in one. But my buddy out there in the western part of the country, I think he was in Phoenix, it started raining. And I said this. And he got stuck in his Waymo for 20 minutes, Mike. And finally somebody came on and said, hey, how can I help you? What's going on? Because it was trying to differentiate. Is this rain? What's going on? Can I turn? That is crazy, man. Yeah, everybody's safe, though, right? Everybody was safe?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was just it was crazy. We were getting off the air. It was like the final segment of the show, about 5:45, and we had this watching Channel 2 on one of our TVs here in studio, and there was a lake on Baker Street northbound exit on 7585. It was just bananas. Yeah,
the flotsam clogged up those drains.
So, you know, the mattresses and all the other stuff, and so the guys that had to come in there start moving that stuff out, get stuff to drain. So, yeah, it was pretty bananas. And again, today we had some flash floods, too, on the way up to work.
Yeah,
so.
It's going to rain again this weekend. And so, yeah, be prepared. Be weather,
weather aware.
Weather aware.
But that's it's, who knew? Just throw the www and we can shut down the computers.
That's crazy. I've never. That is freaky.
What?
Droid. I am a droid.
What?
See, the idea is that AI could actually, they don't need us, and they could program somebody to think in a millisecond, or obviously a zillionth of a second, and carry on a conversation. But, you know, heaven forbid they throw a couple of W's in there. Apparently, all bets are off.
Yeah, that's scary. Real quick, I had to tell this story, man. Coming up 4 o'clock, we'll talk to Connor Riley from Dog Nation. As we said, spring meeting is going on, and Greg Sankey seems pretty committed to having the SEC championship game. Is he just saying that, or does he actually mean it? So, Mike, we were at a resort. Not going to name it.
Okay.
Very upscale resort that we were at on vacation. And this situation that happened. I just want to get your opinion on it. You tell me what you think.
Right.
So we get there, and obviously the room is not ready. We arrived early.
Okay.
And so they sent us up to this great restaurant that they have, and they're like, you know, go have lunch or whatever, and we'll you know, text you when your room's ready. And we're like, okay, great. So we get there, and we're having lunch, and we're sitting next to this couple. We find out they're from Arkansas.
Okay.
And a guy looked like he played ball somewhere. You know, when you walk up like some of these guys like Orin, you get this, like people walk up and, man, where'd you play? So he sits down and I'm like, oh yeah, he definitely played somewhere. So I said, where'd you end up playing? He goes, oh man, I was actually a D2 guy, but yeah, I played years ago, but he's still in great shape. And so we start talking, and they live in the Ozarks.
Okay.
And him and his wife were there, and they say, well, yeah, you know, where you're from? And we're talking, oh, we're from Atlanta. Oh, and you want to talk about the Braves and all the things that are going on. And then just out of casual conversation, he says, yeah, we're here celebrating our anniversary. We said, oh, congratulations. Right. That's wonderful. How long? The guy's like, oh, it's been 20 years. We're like, oh, man, that's terrific. And then Michelle says to them in return, oh, yeah, well, we've been together 26. And he goes, oh, congratulations. Oh, well, thank you. But we never said it was our anniversary. But when our room was ready, and they texted us, Mr. Dukes, your room's ready.
Right.
We go and we get there, and there is a huge anniversary thing on our door.
Huh.
So I'm like, is this the right room? And
nobody should have known.
Nothing.
Okay.
Nothing. So the lady that's showing us in, she's like, yes, this is your suite. Let me show you everything that's going on. And we're like, all right. Mike, they open the door. I'm like, this isn't the suite that I booked. This has been upgraded. So she says, first foremost, happy anniversary. We're so happy to have you here at the resort. And I look at Michelle. Michelle looks at me, and we're like, it's not our anniversary. But then we noticed there were people walking around with earpieces. And this is how they were communicating,
gotcha.
Right?
Gotcha.
So literally it would be like, yes, we have a couple waiting, da da da. And I don't know, they were, you know, talking to us, but you could see the earpieces. Right. And I said to her,
attentive customer service.
Dude, I think they were listening to our conversation, and they heard the folks say that it was their anniversary, and they thought it was our anniversary, and they upgraded us. So now, Mike, throughout the course of this trip, we're getting all kind of different perks because Mr. Dukes, Miss Michelle, Mrs. Carr, it's good to see you. Happy anniversary.
So you already start your tab at the pool?
Dude.
Right? So they would have been really, oh, here's you. Get the name. Your room's not ready yet. Got your name.
That's
okay.
Right. Yeah. So
easy to do.
So here's the deal. We didn't say a damn word the entire time we were there, okay? And now that we're gone, I'm like, should we have told them? Because I feel like, Mike, I was taking all these perks and extras that I didn't pay for. Should I feel guilty about this?
When I was a child, I'll make this brief. when I was about eight, we went to the Sunrise Mall in Massapequa, by where Jerry Seinfeld's from. And we went to Farrell's Ice Cream Parlor. It was a nice, you get grilled cheese sandwich, but they get ice creams. And if it was your birthday, you get a free sundae. And every, they bang the drum and they'll come out. And my mom goes, it's your birthday. I go, what? It's June. My mom goes, let's pretend it's your birthday. So you think my dad was a con artist? My mom. So sure enough, I go, okay. My mom goes, it's his birthday. So it's all ding, ding, ding. So that's why, if you wonder why I'm such a scam artist and such a hustler and why I was a bookie, I learned at an early age, but we took advantage of it.
I say
you run with it, man. Dare I say this wasn't a cheap vacation.
No, it wasn't.
Run with it.
And that's how I felt. I was like, okay, you're going to get extra this, 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 and this. I didn't feel guilty, but I kind of did, but it, not enough to say, hey, it's not our anniversary. You guys, you need to knock this off. Everywhere we went, Mr. and Mr. Carr, hey, right. Happy anniversary. Like, oh, my God. So we were playing. Now we're playing along in this.
I run with that. Because the year we got engaged in Vegas, we told everybody we were engaged because we just got engaged.
Boom. Drinks. Everything. Like,
same thing. Hey, how about dinner at AJ's Steakhouse? Yes, please.
Everything.
So, dude, that's fantastic.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was one of those situations that I've not been in where, you know, you might get one thing, but it was completely, they thought throughout the entire time that it was our anniversary. And I was like, we never said that. The only thing we ever said was, they were celebrating theirs. We had just met this couple. And right. We just said, oh, they got a 20. Oh, we've been in the 26. That was it. One thing. So and I swear,
like special.
Table 26, new arrivals.
So special desserts, like everything anniversary themed and everything?
You name it. Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Giddy up. Take advantage of that.
It was crazy.
Hey, play the system, man.
Well, that's part of this is, and again, I know we still have very honest folks out there, hardworking Americans who want to do things the right way. I got to tell you guys, I felt guilty for like 2 seconds. And then once this stuff started kicking in, I was like, bring me more. Hey, I was like, Thor.
The price of a vacation these days.
Bring me another.
The airfare. And take it. Take it to the limit, man. Hell yeah.
All right. So I should not feel
no.
that.
Okay. No.
All right.
Again.
Oh, no.
I was taught to game the system from the time I was eight. So I think you're
wrong. How many birthdays did you have?
I did this all the time. Every time I go to Sunrise Mall. Is it my birthday? Yeah, let's do it again. You wonder why somebody, I guess, they let a turnover at the restaurant. No one ever got wise to the fact that it was my birthday every month. But yeah, free ice cream sundae from Farrell's.
All right, man. You guys can chime in. Look, I'm all about free within reason. But I'm talking about they were taking care of us.
That's awesome.
Happy man. Anniversary.
Champagne.
And then we started saying to each other, happy anniversary. Happy anniversary.
Dude, that's perfect. You deserve it.
Oh, my goodness. All right, man. Coming up, we're going to talk to our guy, Connor Riley, about what's going on with the Dogs and the SEC. Big decisions being talked about, where this thing goes with the conferences and the playoffs. We'll talk to him next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Not quite. The show will happen. The stadium will likely fill up one way or another. What